the university, I would ask them, I would go around the room and ask them, what do you think works are? But I won't do that tonight.
Thank you.
But we're going to talk about work.
And what I want you to think about as I get started on this lesson is, there's a pastor, his name is Rick Warren. I like him. I get his devotionals in the email every day. There, some of them are, you know, really, really good. And he said something that struck me as very true and very, you know, interesting. He said, effort has nothing to do with your salvation, but effort is essential to your spiritual growth.
Amen.
I'll say it one more time. Effort has nothing to do with your salvation, but effort is essential to your spiritual growth. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. You have to act.
Yeah.
And so to illustrate that point, I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to go to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and starting at the 14th verse. And this is the Amplified. Am I in the Amplified? It's the Amplified version. It says, parable of talents. For it is just like a man. Well, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, for it is just like a man who was about to take a journey. And he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. So what we should see in illustration here is that when we come to God, or even before we come to God, God knows who we are because he created each and every one of us, and he knows what we're capable of. And he gives us, in the verse where it says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another to 1, well, you can look at it as, you know, one being more capable of handling more than the other. But I look at it as that God just gives us different talents.
Yes.
You know, so that we're not looking at this in capacity, not so much in volume, but more so in capacity. Such that I'm capable of doing things that maybe Elder Smith's not capable of doing them because that's just not her personality, or that's just not, you know, her thing or what have you. God will work with you. With what you got.
Yeah, what you got. Yeah.
Because he made you, and he knows exactly who you are.
Yes, he does.
He knows how you work. He knows how you operate. He knows how you think. You know, he knows all these things about you. So it's like this. It's like, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. Now, to the one who received the 5 talents, went at once and traded them, and he made a profit and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had made a profit, I'm sorry, likewise, the one who had 2 made a profit and gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So another way we can look at this is that everything that I am in God comes from God, because there's nothing good in me.
Yes.
And so when God gives me something to do, and you know, that's whatever it is according to your several abilities, just like these people in the Bible, he expects you to do something with it.
Yes.
Which is why I started off saying that, you know, salvation doesn't, I don't have to do anything to get saved other than believe. But God is very interested in the works that I do once that I'm saved. He's looking to see what I'm going to do with what he gave me according to my capabilities. Now, some people might look at it as, oh, I got to go start 13 churches, you know, or somebody else, maybe they go and start a soup kitchen, or somebody else, you know, they feed the children in Africa. But it could be as simple as you just live well and you're prospering, and the people on your job are like, there's something different about you.
Yes.
And in that regard, you're evangelizing through your life. Your testimony is speaking.
Yes.
So whatever your capability is, whatever it is that God gives you, he's seeing what you're going to do with it, right?
Right.
So now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. So we got to think about being in heaven and coming before the judgment, right?
Yes.
And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have made a profit and gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. Also, the one who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have made a profit, gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. However, the one who had received 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping the harvest where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid to lose the talent, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have it. What is your own? So in other words, we have to look at this as this man, you know, being one of these people that, let me say it was just too hard. God wants something of me that I'm just not capable of doing. So I'm just not going to do anything with the things that he gave me. I'm just going to, I'm just going to bury my whatever he gave me in the ground. But this master said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reaped the harvest where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed. In other words, he's saying, if you knew I was this type of person, he's not admitting to being this type of person. But he's saying to this man, then you ought to have put my money with bankers, and in my return, I would have received my money back with interest. He said, you should have just done something, with it. You have. So in other words, if you don't make it in and you don't live eternally with God, it's your fault.
Yes.
Right? So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely. So you have to value the things that God gives you.
Yes.
More will be given.
Yes.
And I read this as not just more will be given spiritually, but also naturally.
Yes.
You can be successful in life. I don't think God wants us walking around with holes in our shoes and driving cars that have mufflers falling off. It's all of those things that when we give back to God, he'll give to us, right?
Yes.
He will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from this one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away.
Yes.
And throw out the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place of grief and torment, there will be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth over distress and anger. So what we should get out of this is that God looks at what you do with what he gives you,
yeah,
right? Salvation, the Spirit. Do you obey the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Do you do the things that you're supposed to be doing as a child of God? He's watching to see what you do with that.
Yeah.
And on a deeper level, he's seeing if you're doing it with the right heart.
Yes.
So now we can turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse. And I have this written down in my notes, that I am saved by grace, not of works, but God is interested in and examines closely the works that I do after he saved me, so he can reward me accordingly. So works, our first definition is how I negotiate the conditions of my life, right? Make sense in a minute. If your manager gets on your nerves, do you cuss them out? how I negotiate the conditions of my life.
Yeah.
Also, my work is the sum of what and who I am. According to what God gives me. And my works reflect, I'm trying to make sure I stay in the mic because I don't know if you can hear me. My works reflect how much I allow the Spirit to work in me.
So they're a reflection.
So let's turn, I'll turn on here. Forget, Dad, you gotta remind me to stop sharing when I'm talking. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5 and 2. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 2. And I'm not boring you to death, I hope.
No.
Okay. 5 and 10. For we believers will be called to account and must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use and misuse of his time, his opportunities, and abilities. God is looking at all of those things. How do I use my time? I was listening to something the other day, and the man said, if you want to know where your somebody's treasure is or what their priorities are, look at their calendar and look at their bank statements.
Yes.
Because where they spend their time and where they spend their money, that's where their heart is.
Yes.
And we have to spend all these things, all of the things that God gives us. He gives us opportunities and goals and motives, and he looks and he gives us purposes. He's looking to see what I do with that.
Yes.
And in this verse, you notice it says, "For we believers will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be repaid for what has been done in the body, good or bad." And you know, I don't know if I completely agree with this translation, but for how did I put it? I said that in this verse, we don't mean the bad works mentioned in the scripture, because we are in God. We're not worried about those folks, right? So in this scripture, we represent the ones being judged for our good works. We are being judged as the ones who made it in. In other words, when we who have lived our lives for God in this life stand before the judgment in the ages to come, it will be so that God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ. That's Ephesians 2 and 7. So our reward entails our crowns and our mansions and all these things. Look at, I'm proud of my children. Just like when Timaeus made the honor roll, you know, I think we took him out to get ice, or we asked him if he wanted to get ice cream, or we bought him a new toy. But I was proud of him for doing doing good things with what he has. You know, he got good grades. It's the same thing with God. So that when we get rewarded in heaven, he's saying, look at my children. Look what they've done. I'm rewarding them according to how they live their lives. And, you know, another great teacher talks about, well, you know, the better you live, the more you'll have rule over. I'm not going to get into that. But my point is, the purer your heart, the greater your works.
Yes.
And the better your, the bigger your reward in heaven. Because it's one person for, you know, according to your capabilities now, for one person that might mean starting 10 churches. But for another person, that just might mean living right in front of their unsaved husband.
Yes.
You know, how pure is my life? How pure are my motives? According to this, how pure are my actions, my purposes, my goals? You know, how do I use my time, and what do I do with the opportunities that are presented to me? Just like me with this job, it would be as if God gives me this job. I have now all these opportunities opening up to me because I have more money. So God is saying, okay, I gave you that. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to pay your tithes? Are you going to witness to the new people on your job? When you go to this retreat, are you going to tell them you're a preacher? What are you going to do with these opportunities that I'm presenting you? What are you going to do with these opportunities that I'm presenting you? Yeah. Right? God wants to know. So then, I already talked about what are my works. So then, I want to talk about how we are saved by grace, right? We are saved by grace. God saved me simply because he wanted to. And once he saves us, he's looking to see how well I carry out his plan for my life. He says, okay, you believe in my son Jesus. Now I want to see what you do with it. Are you going to touch others? Are you going to, you know, you don't have to be a preacher, but I read something else that said that we're all ministers through our lives.
Yes.
You know, whether we stand behind the pulpit or not. Behind it? Do you stand behind the pulpit? You stand in it.
Yeah.
But he's looking to see what I do with that, right? So the next verse is going to be Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And it says, for it is by grace, and this is all the Amplified version, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved.
Yes.
Actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort.
Right.
But it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. Not as a result of your, what's that word,
works,
nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. So a point I'll make right there is that I'm not responsible for my salvation. God is.
Yes.
So it is his right to say to me, now I want to see what you're going to do with it, because he gave it to me.
Yes.
Right? My next point. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, if you will, right?
Yes.
Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used. He didn't save me so that I could just sit idle and put my talent in the ground and hide it and be like, oh, well, you know, I know you saved me, Lord, but what you're asking is too much. Can't do that. Sorry. Not going to do anything with that. Which, unfortunately, I think some people do. And I'll get to that in a minute. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand. So he already has what his plan is for our lives, you know, to include whatever living for God entails for your life, right? Of course, that means coming to church and praying and fasting and reading your Bible. But I already told you, it's according to your own capability, where you are in your life. You know, I write it in my papers all the time, according to your space in society. You know, what portion of this life or the kingdom that you occupy, he's looking to see what you can do with that, what you're going to do with it. Taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Right? So, am I living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for me? You know, my purpose, which is another subject. We are saved by grace but rewarded, bragged about by God to the generations to come according to our work. So how else can I define my work, right? Salvation is not a result of my works, nor of my attempts to keep the law, but it is by grace of God's grace and favor. This is all Romans. But how else I can define my works is my how I reflect that I am his workmanship. I guess I can add that as a bullet point under that, right? Workmanship. How much does my life reflect that God is actually changing me?
Yeah.
I think a couple weeks ago, Bishop Smith was talking about faith without works is dead.
Yes.
And it wasn't talking about starting a soup kitchen, although it could include starting a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it can include having, you know, a homeless shelter for women.
Yeah.
It can include starting a Christian school. It can include all those things. But God is wanting to see what are my motives? What is driving me to start those things? Is it so that he can brag about me in heaven, or so that men can brag about me right here on earth?
Amen. Yeah.
What are my motives?
Yeah.
What are my works? Somewhere else in the Bible it says that God knew them according to their works.
Yes.
Even then he was looking to see, what are you doing with this, Israel? You know, you are my people, but look at you. Look at how you're acting.
Yeah.
In my name.
In my name.
That's embarrassing.
Yes.
When my son goes to school and he acts up in my name, because everybody knows he's my son, I don't want to claim him that day.
Poor baby.
God invented parenting. I think he feels the same way. Why should he claim me if I can't obey and I don't live the life that he has prearranged, the good life, as I said before, that he has prearranged for me? He knew the path he had for me. He wants me to live that life. And so, in my experience, I get on the path, I get off. I get on the path, I get off. And he's still waiting. Okay, well, she got off this time, but she can come on back. I still have this prearranged life for her. If she'll only obey. So he's looking to see how I'm dealing with it. Then I gotta go through chastening, and I gotta go through trials and tribulation, and then I go, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, it's just this on and on thing. But God, still yet, even in all of that, because he's good, and I'm saved by grace, praise his name, he waits and he sees what I'm gonna do so I can get back on this prearranged path he has for me.
Yes.
So my work is how much I reflect that I am his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed and ready to be used for good works, right? For he delivered us and saved us, and so this is 1 Timothy. It's a Bible study, not like I got a lot of scriptures, y'all. First Timothy 1:9. Is that the right verse? For he delivered us and saved us, called to the Lord calling. No, I don't think that's the right verse. I think I wrote it down wrong. For he delivered us, I'll just read it. He delivered us and saved us and called us with a holy calling. A calling that leads to a consecrated life, a life set apart, a life of purpose, his purpose.
2 Timothy.
Okay, that's why. 2 Timothy 1:9. And I'll just keep reading. Not because of our works or because of my personal merit. We could do nothing to earn this. There wasn't anything good in me. He did this because he wanted to, but because of his own purpose and grace. His amazing undeserved favor, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, eternal ages ago, right?
Yes.
So in that regard, I didn't have to earn my salvation, but I do have a part in maintaining it.
Yes.
Salvation is not a one-time good deal, right?
Yes.
One and done. I'm saved. You know, the once and saved always people. No.
No, you're not once saved.
Because I just told you that spiritual growth takes effort.
Yes.
I must do something with it.
Yes.
You know, like the people with the talents. They had to do something with it.
Yes.
Good point. And Paul suggests that you work out your own salvation. I work out my own salvation. Continue to work it out, right? That is to cultivate, to bring it to full effect, right? To actively pursue.
Yes.
Spiritual maturity.
Yes.
Work.
Work, yes.
You gotta work.
Yes.
Right? Therefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Why fear and trembling? You might ask. My mother says, because you can lose it.
That's right.
But because not only am I do I have part in maintaining my salvation, but I also must be careful that my working out my salvation aligns with God's will.
Yes.
Sometimes we're trying to work out our salvation, and that ain't the way God wants us to do it.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes because I'm not an elder, but there may be people who are pastoring churches that probably ought not be pastoring churches.
Yes.
You know, you stepped out there because I'm going to go run for God. Well,
not according to God's will. Yeah.
Or it could be other things in your life. You know, you're working out your salvation. The Lord told me to marry this woman. Did he really? Marriage is not a ministry. My father has told me before. People think, you know, oh, it's spiritual. No, marriage is quite an earthly thing. You know, my mother says it's very carnal. It's all carnal. It's about procreation.
There's no heavenly equivalent.
No heavenly equivalent to marriage. Like, yes, not in regard, right?
No.
So I must be careful that working out my salvation aligns with God's will, right?
Yes.
With all inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution. Gotta be careful.
Yeah.
You know, about even my zeal.
Yes.
Right?
God. Yep.
Using serious caution and critical self-evaluation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, look at yourself sometimes. You're not always right.
Yeah,
I'm not always right.
Yep.
Salvation is not a one and done thing. I must seek God for everything.
Everything.
Lord, am I making everything the right decisions?
Yes.
Is this the way you want me to go?
Yes.
If I'm asking him for help, then it would behoove me to listen to him and ask him what I need to do. Work out your salvation.
Yes.
Be obedient to him. Try to hear his voice.
Yes.
Effort.
Yes.
Self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ.
Amen. Yes.
It says that it is, okay, I'll use the whole thing. Using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. There are a whole lot of evangelicals today.
Yes. Liars, yes.
That are discrediting Christ.
Yes, yes.
It's sickening. And this is a good point on my part. Not going to pat myself on the back, but seriously, they're doing
yes.
this in the name of God.
Amen. Yes, right.
Like Paul said, he was the chief among sinners because he was killing the saints
yes.
in the name of God.
God.
He thought he was doing the
right
thing. You can get real zealous about things, but you still, even if it seems like it's right, you have to check in with God to make sure that I am actually working out my salvation according to the way that pleases him. Am I in the will of God?
Yeah.
Check in with God. See what he thinks about it. Next point. Know that I get out of it what I put in it. Philippians 2 and 13. Here that, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work that is strengthening you, energizing you, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill his purpose for his good pleasure. So it's not that he sent you out there like the man with the talent, oh, you're a harsh man, so I don't get my talent. He said, no, I give you the strength to do this. I give you the desire to do this. Strengthening and energizing and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill his purpose. So this means that I get out of it what I put into it. This is the law of reaping and sowing. Let's turn to Galatians 6, 7 through 8. And it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed. He's not going to talk bad about me. I do what I say. Not treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. You will be in my will, or you're going to suffer consequences. For whatever a man sows, that this and only this is what he will reap. You can't put into something, stop share for a second. I can't just give God whatever I think I need to give. Like, look at Cain and Abel. Cain said, well, you know, I ain't got no lands, but I'm going to give him this fruit right here. He's going to be all right.
Yeah. That's right. That's what he's doing.
It's pretty. You know, I labored. You know, I went out there and I cultivated the ground to make the fruit grow properly. You know, he'll be okay with this fruit because, you know, it's the fruit of my labor.
Yes, yes.
But that's not what God wanted.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So it says, for the one who sows to his flesh, Cain, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, if you do that, you're the way of a transgressor is hard.
Yes.
Will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. You're going to destroy yourself in one way or another. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Right. The more I align myself with God's purpose, the more he strengthens my desire to align myself with his purpose. It keeps going.
Yes.
And I keep checking in with him, and it keeps getting better and gooder and gooder. And the more I need God, the more I find out, the more I need God. He wants me to lean and depend on me because he's, you know, as my students say, he's got my back.
Yes.
You know, he's holding me up.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's on my side.
Yes.
So then another definition of work, how much I'm willing to align myself. Did I already put that?
No.
Mm-mm. How much? Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. What are the words? Where he says, my power of God, grace divine, and my will be lost in thine.
Yes. Draw me nearer.
Yes. Draw me nearer. Yes. My will be lost in thine.
Yes.
So that brings me to my next point, that I am constantly accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Not a one-time deal, one and done. Not that I have to work, but I do have to believe. So let's go to Galatians 6:9. But when you come to Christ, so let me say my point first, and then I'll get back to that because I think I'm about done. When you come to Christ and get saved, it's not a one-time deal. I must accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior every day for the rest of my life and throughout eternity.
Yes.
Right. Remember that I am his workmanship, and I am known in heaven by how I walk in the good works created in Christ Jesus. That's all the way back to that first verse that we read.
Yeah.
And these are the works I am meant to carry out by which God rewards me in heaven. My works then are every time I obey God. Right? That I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart and confess every day the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Maybe I don't say those words, but through my life,
yes.
How I walk, you know, my way of walking, the way I think, the decisions that I make, the people I allow to be my friends, the places where I decide I'm going to live, all of that, God is looking to see how does this align with my purpose, my plan, my prearranged good life I have for you.
Yes.
Right. So then my last verse, Galatians 6:9, encouragement. So let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, because that's what God set us up to do.
Yes.
For at the proper time we will reap if we do not give up or give in. And it goes on. And that's all I have for you, that when we get to heaven, what we are being rewarded for is how closely I align myself with Him while I was in this life.
Yes.
You know, how pure were my motives? Because, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, there's so much, my spiritual growth never ends. I'm never going to arrive. It's going to go on until Jesus comes back or until I die. And even then, I won't have achieved all or have maximized the potential that I could have had. Because I'm in this life. You know, the Bible says that we're just going to scarcely make it in. So be not weary in well-doing. You know, endeavor. I love that word. Endeavor to hear the voice of God. Endeavor to ensure that even with my good works, that I think is good, check in with God and see if He thinks it's good too.
Yes.
You know? And then don't be like the man with the one talent, you know, well, I can't, you know, I just can't do no better. Well, God's just going to have to forgive me. Well, okay. But you cut your gift potential down by a third or two, because you might be obeying God, but there's always room for improvement.
Yes.
And you ought to be happy for the Lord to improve on you. God loves us. We are His children.
Yes.
And I'm finding that out more and more as I get older and really start to learn to depend on God, how much He actually loves me, because I'm a knucklehead.
Yes. Amen.
But He was willing to save me anyway. And He forgives me every time I ask for forgiveness.
Right. Yes.
And He appreciates it when I grow from these things.
Amen.
And that's all I have. Dad, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. So I'm going to pray for everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this word tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your word at all. Lord, Your word is good, and it's true, and it's perfect, and it's complete. I can do everything I need to do according to Your word, and I'll be all right. I thank You, Father, for Your word. And Lord, I ask that You help us tonight, oh Lord. Lord, give us the mind to align ourselves with Your will, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, Lord, give us the revelation of Your purpose, Your plan, what that prearranged good life is for us, oh God. And Lord, so that we can walk according to what You're showing us. And Lord, give me the mind. Lord, give me the malleability, the will or the mind to want to change and improve and to keep growing and to keep changing and to keep seeking You and to keep crying out to You, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us that, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, strengthen our spirits, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give me give us an obedient spirit, oh God. A praying spirit, oh Lord. Lord, a desire to do Your will, oh God, and to please You. Lord, give me the desire to please You even more, oh God, and then show me how to do it. Show us how to do it, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, show us how to please You, oh Father. Lord, keep leading and guiding us and bopping us back into the right path, Lord. Lord, if we get off the path, Lord, seek for us. David says, seek for Thy servant. You know, that means look for us. Oh, Lord, when we kind of get off, Lord, send something to help us out, because we really want to be in Your will, oh, Lord. Lord, we really want to please You, oh, God. Lord, when we lift our hands and worship to You, Lord, we want our worship to be a sweet savor in Your nostrils, oh, God. Lord, we want You to be able to validate the things that we do in the name of God and for the cause of Christ. Lord, help us tonight, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, our God, I ask that You bless everyone who's here on Zoom tonight. Lord, meet the weightiest of the matters. Lord, heal all those who need to be healed. Lord, give answers to those who are seeking answers, oh Father. Lord, draw nigh unto those who want to draw nigh unto You, oh God. Lord, be with those who are willing to be with You, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that You send souls into all of our churches. Lord, send souls, oh God, to Emmanuel. Lord, send souls, oh God, into Promise. Lord, send souls in the name of Jesus. Lord, send those that are ready to hear Your word, oh God. the way that we deliver it, oh Father. Lord, lead us and guide us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I say thank you, and I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Pray much from the Lord. Turn the service over to Bishop Smith.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. Thank God for the word of God. I enjoyed that. That was really good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Faith without works is dead. But your work is to do the will of God. And just the things that we do that causes us to be in line and in God's will. So I thank God for his goodness and mercy. Thank God for Minister Smith tonight. Praise his name. Thank God for all of you who are on Zoom tonight. So we get ready to...